Friday the 19th of February, Hey Ador, Robbie Raffi Gorson, Only a Mink Needs a Mink Coat, Animal Rights and Animal Experimentation in Jewish Thought.
Thank you very much to the organisers, and particular thanks to Dudi Iskovitz for nudging me the last 6 months to be here. Coming from Ormond, it's a bit difficult because the timing's a bit difficult in the morning, but half term I had no excuse. There were two minks that were on the way to the slaughterhouse, and one mink turns to the other mink and says, "See you in shore." Now, the the connection to this week's parasha is quite obvious. In last week's parasha, parashat Mishpatim, we had the pasuk, "Ki tirech hamor sanachar robes tachad naso v'chalda me'azov lo tazov azimo." That when you see your friend's ox being burdened with the load on top of him, you have to make sure to unload it. And this is one of the predominant sources amongst the Rishonim for Sar Balechaim, the mitzvah of not causing active pain and anguish to an animal. Most of these sources I heard on share about 15 years ago from my friend, and a couple of other sources I picked up from Bar Ilan, CD-ROM, courtesy of Bar Ilan, the last few days. Now, in Noach, in Parashat Noach, we find that there's a major change in history of human beings. Till the Mabul, one was not allowed to eat meat, and then after the Mabul, we have Gemara Sanhedrin, the first source there. Amar Yehuda Marav, Adam Rishon Lohutal Lo Basar Lachila, Adam was not allowed to eat it, but then afterwards, meat was allowed to be eaten. And this is related to the whole concept of vegetarianism and Judaism. That's perhaps a whole other discussion. Now, we have nowadays many organizations with concerns for animals. They're generally more vocal, more aggressive than anywhere before. They've been in the news. I recently have for your perusal, I've left two articles of recent from The Guardian and The Independent there in front that you can read. Obviously not necessarily the Jewish way, and China recently has also been in the news for passing laws in their parliament or Knesset, whatever it is in China, for animal rights. So the question I'd like to discuss today, and there's a lot to be discussed, is the Jewish approach to this. People who accost women who are wearing fur coats, they throw paint on them. So I'm sure that's perhaps going a little bit too extreme, a little bit too far. But we know that we have a principle, we can't take unfair advantage of animals. So are there any limits? It's a question I'd like to discuss today. Is experimentation allowed? Are there restrictions to animals? What do we say if the discussion in question is to advance medical science, perhaps saving a life? So we know that there is a prohibition of Sar Bar Lechaim. In fact, according to most authorities, this is a Torah prohibition. And the first source I discussed with the Gemara Bava Metzia, for those who have recently done Daf Yomi, but familiar with this, Mitzvah min HaTorah lifrog, aval lo litan, this Mitzvah min HaTorah, says the Tanakam over there, to be porek, to remove the load from an animal, not necessarily to go ahead and load it up. So the Gemara says, ma aval lo litan, what does that mean? Ina ma lo litan klal, and you can tell me it doesn't make any difference that you don't have to load up an animal at all. Maishna prika dichtiv azov tazov imo. So by the parasha last week, we see that when an animal is bearing down this high, hard burden, you have to unload it. So by the same token, it says, hakem takim imo in parasha de boron, you have to go ahead and load it up again. So the Gemara suggests that no, to unload an animal, if it's suffering, you've got to do that for free. You want to load up an animal, you've got to be paid for it. That's one opinion. Then Rav Shimon has a different opinion, but towards the end, we don't have time to go through the whole source. The Gemara says towards the end, Amar Rav, the last line there, whichever approach you perhaps want to take, Midivrei Shnehem Nirmal Sar Bar Lechaim Doraita. From both of these opinions, that Tanakam and that of Rav Shimon, we see quite clearly, says Rabbah, that the prohibition of Sar Bar Lechaim is not rabbinic, it's Midoraita, it comes from the Torah, and therefore one has to be very careful and when we approach this with this topic and deal with it with kid gloves, because it is in fact any sort of deraita, people will be held accountable after 120 years. Where is the source that Sar Bar Lechaim is in fact deraita? So one source we have there quoted from Rashi. Rashi in Gemara Shabbat Kuf Kavchet Amud Bet says, "Shenemar Azov Tazamimo." Last week's parasha, Parashat Mishpatim, that's the source. Help the animal that's suffering. Unload the burden on its back. Is the source in the Torah that Sar Bar Lechaim is midoraita? The Meiri suggests that we have another verse, Lot Achsom Shor, but he said, do not mother an ox while it's plowing the field. Why? Because again, that's Sar Bar Lechaim. That's the Meiri's approach. So you cannot do what you want to an animal. There's no open season on animals, so to speak. There is no carte blanche to do with what you want with an animal. Now, we have a Gemara here in Shabbat, Kuf Kamachet, that says, take this to stage further, another place where we see black and white, Tzar Bala Chaim is the writer. If you have an animal that falls into Amat Maim, into like a pit of water on Shabbat, you're allowed to bring various pillows and blankets to allow it to come out. The Gemara has a discussion there, which you can see in front of you. And the Gemara, at the end, underlined there, says, how can you go ahead and put these kalim, these pillows, and allow the animal to come out? The animal's muksa. And then when it goes on it, you mevatel kalim echano, which is a rabbinic prohibition. You're allowed to remove a kalim on Shabbat from its original function. Savar mevatel kalim echano derabanan. Savar balechayim deraita, vati deraita vadachi derabanan. The power of a deraita overrides that of a rabbanan, and therefore Savar balechayim is very clearly midoraita. So our discussion begins at this point. We have a Rama, Ramosha Isis from Krakow, who paskin the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Hay in Eben Ezer, called Davar Hasarich Lerefuah, that anything that is needed for medical well-being of a person, or Lashadarim or other matters, late Be Mishum Yisur Balechayim. There's no prohibition of Sar Balechayim at this point. You can't just inflict pain willy-nilly on an animal. But if my needs conflict with the needs of an animal, then the halacha is clear that human rights take precedence over animal rights. Well, we'll get through it. So to what extent do my needs take precedence? So in the 21st century, pens still exist. Well, most people don't use pens nowadays because they have PDAs, but there was a time where people used pens. These are little instruments which... Anyway, if your pen runs out, so you would go to Tesco and buy a Valley Pack for 30p, you'd get 1,000 pens. But 1,000 years ago, you had no pens. So the way you wrote was with a quill. So there you are, writing your checkout to pay for something, a shul membership, and your quill breaks. So you need a new quill. So the remark continues, V'lachen mutar limrot notzot me'avazot chayot. A person's allowed to pluck out from a live geese. Live goose. A live goose, a feather. Ah, it's going to cause him pain. Malekah lemechash mishum barachayim. One does not have to be concerned at all about Sar Balachayim. Now, if an animal activist would see you doing that, going over to this bird, pulling out a feather, obviously drawing a little blood bubble, the bird screaming in pain, he'd have a heart attack. So you're going to argue with me first, well, at least kill the animal. Because then if you shaft the animal, it doesn't feel any pain. The poor animal's going to suffer. The answer is, I don't need the meat. I want a pen. And so it's 100% permissible, mutar pi halacha, says the Rama, you can pluck a feather from a live animal. So Bar Sar Balachayim ends very clear when my needs as a human begins. So where does the Rama see this? If indeed Sar Balachayim is Isur Deraita as a prohibition from the Rama, where does the Rama see that one is allowed to do such a thing? So there's a Tosfot in Avodah Zarah that says, Sar Balachayim en Isur Ela Kishim Isara Beli Revach. Sar Balachayim is only prohibited when you're not gaining anything. If you do, right, in Gibraltar I had a friend, so he's not Jewish, and he used to take cats, because there's quite a few in Gibraltar, and tie cans to the end of a string, tie the cat's tail to the end of the string, and he used to hit the cat, and the cat, probably still running today because he hears this thing chasing behind him, that, you're not gaining anything. That's Sar Balachayim in its paradigm form. But the Tosfot says, Tosfot says quite clean and Zara, that if you're doing it for your own benefit, there's no prohibition. So much so, taking this a first stage further, we have the Ran there in the Shuddha Darabazra of David ben Zimra, written and penned in Egypt. He writes as follows. Shelami many, the question was asked to me, Kimad Iska and Hilkata Sabal Chaim in the Torah. Since Sabal Chaim is prohibited from a Torah perspective, my time as I can venerate the Chvoidoi, Lama and a Porek Mishum Sabal Chaim. You know, the Gemara Bava Matthias says, if you have an older person, who's a Talmid Hacham, right, and he sees this animal, this donkey, that's schlepping this burden and he's suffering, the Zaken can say, listen, I'm a Rav, Kavod HaTorah, I'm not going to do this. I don't have to do this. Teshuvah Sheila Echad Asher Shal Tiretz HaRambam, the Kavod Torah Adif. Rambam says that Kavod HaTorah takes precedence over Sar Balechayim. But the Ran has a Chiddush over here and takes this a stage further, and he says, not only does Zaken here mean, in the usual colloquial terms, Talmid Chacham, but it means anyone. A VIP of the community, somebody who's respecting the community, not necessarily a Talmid Chacham, it's beneath his dignity to unload an animal, then he doesn't have to do it. So why can a Zaken, says the Rabbaz, neglect the animal? Because animals were created for our needs. But our needs are not necessarily only physical needs, but my honor is also a need. And therefore my needs come first. So not only physical needs, but psychological needs take precedence, and Tzar Bala Chaim stops at that point. Where do we get this from? So the Da'at Kedoshim explains that it's also implicit in the Torah. The Torah forbids us to plow with shor and chamor. You can't have a shor, a donkey, and an ox plowing together, because each one has different strengths, and that's unfair. But you can plow with two oxen. So, did you ever ask an animal what it's like to plow? It hurts. And yet the Torah says you can plow. Ah, it's going to hurt the animal. Tough luck. Doesn't matter. If you need your field to be plowed, then plow. So it's quite clearly in the Torah. The Vilna Gaon, quoting on the Bir HaGaon, the Shulchan Aruch, quotes from a Gemara in Shabbat and says like this, quite painful but nonetheless, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, HaRoseh Yisares Tarnagol, person wants to make his rooster sterile, to not be with the hens and have lots of little hens running over the place, Yitor Karbalato, he should remove the crown, just rip it off the guy, the rooster's head, that's his pride, rip it off its head, or Misarev Melav, that's automatic sterilization. Oh, it hurts. You're doing it without anesthetic. The answer is, I don't want my rooster to go around with my hands. It's the same Yisod, it's the same principle. My needs, Tzar Bala Chaim, my needs override Tzar Bala Chaim. So much so, Minchat Chinuch says an amazing thing. The Gemara Shabbat says, what happens if you create the following scenario? You're walking down the road, on the right-hand side of the road, you have your friend who you love, who's got an animal that's burdened, and you need to help him take it off. Tzar Bala Chaim. On the left side of the road, you have this guy who can't stand, who needs to be helped to load the animal. So you might think, well listen, one's Tzar Bala Chaim, one's not Tzar Bala Chaim. The other animal's not suffering. What should you do first? So the Gemara concludes, you should go and help your enemy. Why? Because then you can work on yourself. You can work on yourself. Now, if you're going to tell me Tzar Bala Chaim is the writer, so then that you should be really helping your friend who needs help to unload the animal. Nevertheless, if it's going to work on your Yetzer Hara, that's more powerful. And the Minchat Chinuch says it in other words, Keshem Shu'ut Tzar Bala Chaim Lesorach Adam Lehanat Gufo, just like we permit Tzar Bala Chaim for a person's own personal benefit, or Mishum Kuvado, or for his own personal honor, Kol Sheken Shu'ut Lesorach Midot Nafsho. It's going to improve a person's midas. Tzar Bala Chaim is out the window, and human rights take precedence. Now we have an interesting Shvut Yaakov. Shvut Yaakov and Chulin, go to Gemara Chulin. Gemara Chulin says that Reb Chiya asked Rebbe, I've got a whole bunch of flax that's infested with worms. How do I get rid of the worms? So he said to him, you take a bird, you kill the bird over water, and when the worms smell the blood, they'll leave the flax, they'll fall into the water. So Reb Chiya was very happy because he dewormed the flax. The only one that wasn't happy over here was the bird, because he got killed. Tzar Bala Chaim, it's the same answer. My flax will be ruined, so I can kill the animal. But it could be really that this last proof you can be docheh, you could push off. Why? Because the Noda Yehuda says, it's a famous Noda Yehuda, that when a person kills an animal, there's no Tzar Bala Chaim. And this is talking about killing without suffering. Not where I come from Gibraltar, we have bullfights and los toreros where they kill the bull after an hour of running around and shoving things in its neck. Killing the animal straight away, there's no Tzar Bala Chaim. Says the Shut in Noda Yehuda, Yoredea Siman Yud. Shekol davar sheyesh bo sorech adam, leit bo mishum Tzar Bala Chaim. Anything where human needs conflict with Tzar Bala Chaim, there's no Tzar Bala Chaim. Vegam lo shayach Tzar Bala Chaim le'saro l'anicho b'chayim. Tzar Bala Chaim only applies where you're constantly actively causing it pain and suffering while the animal is still alive. Aval lehamid behemot v'chayot v'chol mineh Bala Chaim. But to kill an animal, late be mishum Tzar Bala Chaim, there's no Tzar Bala Chaim. V'chen mochach b'chulin. And he calls this Gemara chulin. You see, you could kill this bird in order to get out the worms out of the flax, so there's no Tzar Bala Chaim. The context of this particular tshuva is about hunting. That noble British sport. And he writes, the root of this question was Ishachadash Zachar Hashem ben Achala Rachava. There was a Jewish man that inherited a tremendous fortune. And part of that fortune consisted of forests which had animals. And the question that was posed to him was this: can he go out and hunt? Or is a Jew not allowed to hunt, either because of a sar balechaim, causing undue suffering to an animal, or bal tashchit, you're not going to use the animal, right? You can't just waste things in this law, but the prohibition of bal tashchit. V'im ken, therefore, en benidon she'elato mishum sar balechaim. There's definitely no sar balechaim over here, as he just established. You can kill an animal. Or mishum bal tashchit v'adai leik, and there's also no bal tashchit because you use the hide, you use the skins of the animal. Now, so what do you want to say? It's prohibited because the custom amongst the Jewish people is not to hunt. Something's not prohibited. You can't enforce your view on that and say it's prohibited. If according to the law it's okay, then it's okay. You can't say the minhag seems to be that it's not okay. But if halacha says it's okay, then it's okay. So according to the strict law, Jews are allowed to hunt. No problem. But the very basis of the whole question bothered me, said the Noah the Behuda. The only people in Tanakh we find who are hunters were Nimrod and Esav, not the most reputable of characters. It's not the derech of the kinder of Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov to go ahead and hunt. And he goes on to quote, praises the man that doesn't go to theatres and to circuses. And then he goes on to say, that he quotes the Gemara, the Rashi says, Zeshelo Amad the kinging, what's kinging? Zeu Sidat Chaya Alide Klavim. Dog hunts. Zeasu. According to the strict law, law says, no, there's no problem to hunt. But it's not Jewish to hunt. When was the last time you walked into someone's house, an observant Jew, and you found above the fireplace, and you know, a big stag? I've never seen that, but it's fascist. There's no problem. The Jew doesn't do such a thing. So we have seen that number one, sar balechaim is isur midoraita, it's prohibition from the Torah, but a human need overrides sar balechaim. Moving on to the issue of medical ethics, medical experimentation. The Shvut Yaakov, one of the first questions to be posed this question, he writes, Nishalti merofem umche, I was asked by a certain doctor, of David Vizal, is a person allowed to do animal experimentation by killing a non-kosher animal, kegon kelev or chatur, like a dog or a cat? The experiment may indicate whether this will save someone possibly in the future. That medication is not yet guaranteed. So we don't want to give it to a human, he might die from it. So therefore we'll give the animal the food, the drink, see, will he survive or not? Definitely not a problem. Medical experimentation, according to Shvut Yaakov, is 100% okay, no problem whatsoever. But the only thing that bothers the Shvut Yaakov is the final words of the Ramah, which I didn't quote earlier. If that we mentioned to you, that it's okay to go out and pluck a feather from a live animal, if that bothers you, then take heart, because the Ramah writes, "Avshe mesayim Ramah b'mitan notzot sheha'olam nimnaim mishum achsayot." Underline that people don't necessarily do this because it's cruel. Ha'inu dafke b'mitan notzot shosem ase biyadayim ba'ot margish meod hasar b'shat komerit amita. That only when you're plucking an animal, a live animal, a live feather out of a live animal, because each time you do that, it causes tremendous pain. But not in our case. Because the question over here is, are you going to give medicine to an animal, a dog or a cat? And maybe later on, he'll suffer. But at the point that you're giving to him, he doesn't suffer at all. So there's no problem whatsoever. In other words, if it's excessively cruel, then it's what we call midat chasidut. You go beyond the letter of the law, don't do it. So what the Shvut Yaakov was saying, well, could this be a mitigating factor? Could we say that midat chasidut is a mitigating factor here, and therefore we shouldn't be giving the dog or the cat this medicine because it might cause suffering? On that he says, there's a clear difference between the two. One's suffering, one's not suffering. Now it's not a problem. Rav Weinberg in Sridesh, he says, Shemudal esar balechaim netoelet chokhmat refuah. To advance medicine world, medical expertise, you're allowed to cause pain to an animal. The Lord, Elashelefidati, Enkan Gamitut Hasidut, he says no issue whatsoever. of midat chasidut b'makom shenogei rak le'atzmo. Barashai adam nachmir atzmo. You want to have a chumrah, keep that chumrah to yourself. But when it comes to other people, you can't impose your chumrah on other people. Somebody may survive because of this animal experimentation. Oh, I don't want to hurt the animal because of midat chasidut. That's for you. Don't impose your chumrah, says the Shrida Esh, on other people. So be a tzaddik for yourself. But a doctor is not allowed to do something which is midat chasidut. In the meantime, other people may suffer, other people may die. That's not midat chasidus, says the Shrida Esh. So now, in the last 10 minutes, I'd like to move on to more contemporary material. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, firstly, has an interesting tshuva in Choshen Mishpat Chelek Bet with respect to killing animals or mice. Hine bedavar harigat devarim hem musim u'me'asim et ochlim. Flies, wasps, yisubim, yitoshim, mosquitoes, all these type of things that they cause pain, suffering to a person, or he says, achbarim, rats and rodents, especially when there's children around, and he says, afgedolim sheyesh mitavim bibanem, even adults are not particularly comfortable with having mice running around the kitchen. Leika shum yisum min orgam, you can kill them, not a problem. He called about shuhu lesorech adam, leika yisur sabar l'chaim. If you have a need, sabar l'chaim is overridden by the human need. Aval, it's very rare you find Moshe Feinstein his response in a shutim giving you musa. But he says, mikom akom yereshar tov shelo yargo biyadav mamash. If you can avoid killing it with your own hands, then you should do that. Why? Because you should do it with something else. Me'achad dechazian dekishoseh adam maaseh achzariyut deresikha afinu le'enu shemechavin le'organ al yedei chiyuv. Yes, right? We see, encapsulate his words very briefly. He says, when a person does something with his hands which is cruel, that is mashpia on the person. When the Iran Idachad had the whole city condemned to death because the majority of that city worshipped Abu Dazarah, you needed a special blessing from Hashem that you would have rachamim, that you would have mercy, and you wouldn't necessarily be influenced by the fact that you killed these people. And the fact that a person shechts an animal, why is that not cruel? He said, there you have a mitzvah, so that protects you. So if you can get rid of the problem without having to use your hands, right, use a trap, then that's fine. Well, it doesn't mean if you have a rat running around the kitchen, you shouldn't try and find a baseball bat and maybe hit it. If you can do it with your hands, do it with your hands. But he's saying that don't be excessively cruel with your hands. If you kill a mosquito against a wall, that's mashpia on a person's neshama. Interesting point. Now, this next point is quite controversial because it opens up a whole Pandora's box. We've got 9 minutes, so let's move quickly. Binyan, it's a Igot Moshe Eben Ezer Chelek Dal Simon Sadik Bet. Binyan Agalim Shemafatin Otam Beofen Shebesam Yikabel Mare Lavan. Regarding veal, where they're fattened up in a certain way to make the flesh of the veal white instead of red. Uvidavar Hagalim Shein Chadesh Zeh Lokvar Shemafatin Otam Al Kol Eged Bim Kom Yuchad. They put each young calf in its own place. Sar Meod, which is very narrow. Shein Lehem Makom Af Lelech Ezer Pesiot. They can't walk at all there. Ve'en Machlin Otam Klum Yimachle Be'mot Ariyot Le'agalim. They don't give it calf food. They've never nursed from their mother at all, never had breast milk. Ela mefat minoto, or other milk, whatever the word is. Ela mefat minoto b'mashkim shamanim me'od shena b'emot ne'anim b'ze. They give them certain chemicals and foods which fatten them up, which the animals don't like at all. Lehefech me'avua b'berachot, contrasting that which he quotes in Gemara b'chorot. V'gam na'asim cholim mizeh v'sichim li'mien ervot. The animals become sick because of this. And he quotes that the shochtim say that the majority of these animals have wounds within them, either internally or externally. He says 15 out of 100 are no good, and those that are lenient, they say 45 out of 100 of these animals are treif. Shelachen me'arui haya le'eson na'asot zeh. First of all, Jews who cultivate animals in such a way shouldn't do it. Ubale nefesh en lehu lechol klal me'agimel. Person should never order this when he goes to a restaurant. Af im yibdeku gam ha'benei me'ayim. Even if the internal part of the animal was checked and is kosher, avoid this like the plague, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Vehine, le'elu shasin zei kivadai yisur sabal chayim. The people that are involved in this are definitely transgressing the sabal chayim. The ashrut azor chadam, even though we've already made it very clear in the last 25 minutes that one is allowed to do it, if it's human needs, that's only when there's no need for it. That's only when you have a real need. For example, to shecht an animal for food, or to work, or to plow, or to schlep your things for you. Not just cause it pain. Even if a person's going to gain from that, right, you can't do this. כגון שנוכי אחד רוצה להרוג או לחבול בן דה בהמה שכעס עליו שוודאי אסור רב שמשלם לו זכר. I come over to you and I say, listen, you go around me to lobby cow. Please can I punch your cow in the face? I have such a tremendous desire to do it. You're going to gain, you'll get 100 quid. Says Moshe Feinstein, Zvalei Asur. Why, you should just gain at the expense of this animal? Because I have a need to punch the cow in the head? So what's allowed and what's not allowed? So he concludes, Ela dafka bedavar shedar kan de'in shebecha. Only something which is the derech, the norm, quote unquote, of people to do, that's permitted. But anything else is not allowed. Which opens up a real hope Pandora's box, because Clairol hair products, I made a quick Google search, L'Oreal, which includes Garnier, Giorgio Armani, Helena Rubinstein, Ralph Lauren fragrances, of which I happened to use on Friday as well, that's Safari, Max Factor Cosmetics, which you've seen in your wife's bags before, to name but a few. All test on animals. So is that therefore legitimate testing? The world has so far existed without the new oil of Ulay de-aging cream twice a day. Do we really need it? And yet the Gemara Moed Katan on the flip side says that a woman can do all sorts of makeup needs on Chol HaMoed because that's Tzorchei HaGuf. So it's a legitimate need for a woman like Ochel Nefesh, the Gemara is suggesting. So the question I ask you, and I don't know the answer, you can ask your local rabbi, is cosmetic surgery animal experimentation, of which all these things that I've just put into Cherem just now, is that considered Darken Bekach or not? Is that considered normal? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that is. There are legitimate needs and there are non-legitimate needs. It's a very grey box. I'm not sure what the answer is. Moving on to the wonderful area of Steinlach. I had to get it, I'm sorry. Is fur necessary? Now we know that Judaism puts human beings on a much higher level than animals, and animals may be harmed and even killed if it's essential, right, that the human needs should be met. The question is the wearing of fur truly necessary? Fur coats and fur hats for that, to stay warm during wintry weather. There are now many fur coats which are available in a variety of styles and provide much warmth which are not natural, imitation fur. And even there's a small group, it's not big enough yet, of Hasidim, right, a small growing trend that wear synthetic Steinbach. They're definitely not cheap. Now, based on the prohibition of Sar Bala Chaim, in 1992, the Sephardic Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv, Rav Chaim David HaLevi, issued a psak that Jews should not wear fur. Right? And Rav Levi asked, why should people be allowed to kill animals if it's not necessary just because they desire the pleasure of having the beauty and warmth of fur coats? Is it not possible to achieve the same degree of warmth without fur? And in his book, the Jewish Encyclopedia Moral and Ethical Issues, and I quote Rabbi Nachum Amsel, he writes, if the only reason a person wears a fur coat is to show off one's wealth, or to be a mere fashion statement, that would be considered to be frivolous and not a legitimate need. So, it's a bit of an airy topic, right? Pun intended, airy, right? I don't know. It's a difficult one, right? I know there's people here that have Hasidic Ben, or they have Rabbonim or Hasidim. It's a difficult one. Ask your local Hasidic rabbi whether, first of all, if it's Stramish synthetic or not. But if it isn't, how it doesn't sit with me either. Because, especially as we speak now, it's not me, it's me saying it's necessary, it's Rav Moshe Feinstein saying it. Darchen inshi bekach, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, the God of Ador. Only if this is a derech, is it considered a legitimate need? You can wear a lovely hat which keeps your head warm, which is not killing 10 minks. I don't know. Okay, we'll leave it there. Food for thought, nonetheless.